Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Board of Adjustment meeting for the City of Bettendorf for December 12th, 2019. Roll call, please.
Clements. Gallagher.
Here.
Spranger.
Here.
Tansy.
Here.
Tom Burks.
Here.
And we do have a new member, so welcome to Jim Tansy. So we'll throw you right in the fray, right off the bat. I don't know, did you get any orientation or anything, or is this it? This is the orientation. Okay. The Board of Adjustment is normally a five-member board. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 today. And we review special uses and variances that come before us. We are appointed by the mayor and the city council. So our first item to take care of is the minutes of the meeting of October 10th, 2019. You've all received copies of those minutes. Do I have any additions or corrections?
I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Minutes are approved. Item number 4, the board to hold a public hearing on the following items. Case 19-101, it's 3515 Monk's Road. It's an R1. It's a special use permit to allow an accessory dwelling unit in a single family home submitted by Janessa Ormsby. And then the second one, can we take them both together?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, if you would be.
And the second one is case 19-102, and it's 3515 Monk's Road, and it's for a variance for the requirement that an accessory dwelling unit share a common entrance with the attached single family home. So do I have publication?
Yes, we do.
Okay, and how about a staff report?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The site's located at the corner of Monk's Road and Little Lane. It's accessed off of Wood Home Lane. It involves the site that is highlighted in yellow in the graphic being displayed. The applicant would like to add a building addition to the east side of the existing home, approximately in the area, as shown by the graphic. The applicant has clarified that the closest corner of that addition would be approximately 8 feet from the involved side property line. The code allows and mandates how accessory dwelling units may be placed in single-family residential districts. The property in question complies with the following requirements for a special use approval regarding that accessory dwelling unit. The owner of the property will indeed reside on one of the side dwellings, the original side. The two dwelling units will not be under separate ownership. They'll be under the single ownership. The accessory dwelling unit will, in fact, be between the allotted square footage of 400 to 800 feet, and it is estimated 638 square feet. The plan shows that an additional garage space will be provided for the unit. And the code states that the new construction should be aesthetically compatible with the existing home, and the elevation shows that indeed it would match the existing aesthetics of the home. Based on those facts, the proposed special use request does warrant recommendation for approval, with the exception of the common entrance, which is also one of the requirements. So a variance is being asked for that requirement. And regarding that variance, it's staff's interpretation that the intent of that is to ensure that these stay under single ownership and that they don't become either condoed out units, or one unit become an apartment, or that it becomes a townhouse. If you were to approve the variance and special use with some type of verbiage indicating that it could never in the future be used for rental, never in the future be used as a condo or a duplex type unit, that you would be meeting the intent of that. As you look at this plan, the only entrance into this accessory dwelling unit is through the attached garage. and therefore it will not have a front door that is typical of an apartment type unit or a duplex unit. So I believe that summarizes the issues before you. It also summarizes what does and does not comply, and other than the common door entrance, we do believe that it complies with all of the requirements for a special use approval. Are there any questions? If not, I believe that summarizes the case.
Any questions for staff?
So just to clarify for my own sake, there is only one door, and that's into the garage, not into the unit. So that it would qualify as a door that they shared?
No, that's why they need the variance. It's not a shared. What the code anticipates is that somehow you would do this and go into that unit. Or if they had a front door here, that they would access the unit like this. Indeed, there is only one main entrance into this, which will always be through the garage, which is only going to be the person parking in and out of that structure. However, there is a secondary entrance that goes out onto a deck there as well. But that would be right here. I mean, nobody would use that for a entrance into there. So they would be coming in through a garage here and into the unit.
John, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Can you go back to the one you were just on, please? The patio door is
yeah, that's right. It's right there.
Here.
Yep.
So you know that no one's going to
use that as a front door.
That
yep.
is the main
Good point.
Entrance.
Thank you.
So the only question I have is, obviously, you'll never know if it's used as a second dwelling, that, you know, that they didn't rent it out if it wasn't a mother-in-law or somebody other. I mean, you don't know if it's, you know, this homeowner or the next homeowner or however they use it in the future. It's a nice layout. I can completely understand, having gone through this myself with my own mother, that having them be able to live nearby but yet not in your own house. So completely makes sense to me. I just want to make sure that we can do something that we can keep doing.
I may be wrong, but it looks like from the main house, you could enter into the garage, the main garage, or the old garage, or whatever you want to call it, and then enter into the mother-in-law's area. Is that so? You could get in there for emergencies or something. Yeah. Okay. There is access. Yeah.
Access. Yep. Thanks, John. Right through there.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions for staff?
If I could clarify, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, go ahead.
Exactly what Commissioner Thornburg has said, that indeed probably a majority of the time we wouldn't know if it's being rented out sometime in the future, but we do from time to time. Code enforcement does receive complaints that, hey, I think somebody's renting out of the house that it's not allowed. But I think your assertion is probably a majority of the time we wouldn't know that, but if there was a problem, I bet we'd be informed of it, because
right.
we do get those complaints coming into code enforcement.
Well, and as long as this homeowner owns the home and the mother-in-law lives there,
mm-hmm.
Obviously there's not going to be any issues, because that's how they want it to be, and it's a nice arrangement. Again, I'm just asking the question, is the decision today going to be able to be kept forward?
Yeah,
in other situations.
Sure.
So that's the only question I have on the table. Is the next one that comes to us in the next neighborhood or down the street, you know, we're going to be able to keep this going? And I don't know, keep our finger on it?
Yeah, I mean,
because I completely understand the need. And as long as it's family, it probably wouldn't matter anyway, mm-hmm. that you didn't have a common door. You know what I mean? It's when you start actually renting it to non-family members is when I think it comes into question. Not that you guys would, but I'm just saying, if the next one came up and it was similar. So am I understanding it that if there was a door from the first wall from the existing house into the garage, that would take care of it all? Because then you would have an entrance from the main home?
That wouldn't be a common entrance, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right.
The code states that
you'd have to be able to go one way or the other.
The entrance into the existing structure should be the common entrance to both.
Got it.
However you configure that is, yeah. I mean, there's multiple variations you could do that, I'm sure.
I don't know if you guys watch the Home Improvement Network, but all the time they're having homeowners either fix up their basement to rent out or another part of their house to rent out. I mean, it's quite common in larger cities. Again, when it's a family member, it's not an issue. I'm just, again, wanting to make sure that what we do here can remain consistent. Or is there a workaround that they could do with this layout right now? Is there a hallway? Is there a... It's almost like an apartment building where you walk in the main door, but then you can go one way, to an apartment or another way to an apartment, so that they can make this work, and yet we feel good about our decision.
How you'd configure that? You have to get rid of that deck.
That's just my question of the moment, mm-hmm. and I don't know if city has considered anything like that or suggested or.
I believe we had some preliminary discussions about perhaps a common hallway over here, but. I don't know what the interior laid out of that structure is. I mean, would that be coming into a kitchen wall or something? I don't know what the layout is inside this home here.
I think we'd like.
Yeah. Well,
there's a comment.
If you're done with your questions right now, then if anybody's in favor of the project, which I know there is, would you state your name and. Present whatever you want to present. Maybe we'll have some questions for you.
Absolutely. Janessa Ormsby, Shabbat Chic Builders. I can tell you a little bit more about the layout of the existing structure. Where you see the deck on the existing structure has the dining room and kitchen there in front of the patio doors. So there isn't a way to have an actual door that connects the addition to the existing structure. And one of the reasons that we did it this way is so that they can have a ramp in the garage if necessary in the future to enter into the main portion of the house. Because it's actually the homeowner's grandparents that are moving in and that we are building this for. And the grandfather has some health issues, and she's a registered nurse, the homeowner. So her intent is to have them stay, and never have to go into skilled care system or any of the, five or six senior housing that you see going up in Bendorf right now. So I think that this is really the best layout for them and for moving forward, because it really does ensure that you're not going to have a renter. There's no front door access. There's no separate entrance of any sort for people to rent that out in the future. I also live in this neighborhood and can tell you that the neighbors are pretty involved, very established neighborhood. So as far as, if anything happened in the, if she sold it to someone else, actually, this is something, like John was alluding to earlier, that you can do, is to put that clause in when you pass it, that moving forward, no other homeowner that buys it is allowed to rent it out. So with the purchase agreement, if they were to sell that house somewhere down the road, that would be a part of the legal documents. So that you would, whoever bought it would know, okay, this is for family only. This is not allowed to be a rental. And as someone who's not only built many homes in this area, but also flip properties throughout the Quad Cities, I could say that I've seen a lot of different things in purchase agreements that have passed down from buyer to buyer. So that's not something uncommon that would be different than what you'd be doing in the past or moving forward in the future.
Any other questions, Laura?
She has.
If you would like to go to the microphone and state your name and provide us with your input.
Thank you. I'm Katharina Olson. I live at 3565 Woodholm Lane. My property is adjacent to the property that we're talking about this evening. Okay. And if you could go back to that last screen and I could point to something, please. Everything that's been said about this being built as a property that can't possibly in the future be rented out or sold to anybody else is false, because the current owners come in here. This is their garage, and they enter their home here, and they also have a front door here, and they can enter through the deck here. So for the purpose of not the parents, not the in-laws, but the grandparents moving into this property, they have a separate entrance coming into a separate garage. There's going to be a wall here. So they have a separate garage that in the future, this doorway can be closed off. And then somebody in the future could own or rent this property and enter here and here into their home, and then another entrance there. So everything that you've heard about this not being possible to being sold or rented as a separate property in the future is false, because it most certainly is being set up for that purpose. And I'm I didn't expect to talk to that purpose tonight, because the owners of that property right now, I had really good relationships with the previous owners of that property. I had keys to it. I took care of it for them. We shared mowing duties. We shared a lot of things. And my property was a vacant property when my building went up. And there was an elderly lady there, and I started my landscaping from her side to make up for taking her view of a vacant property away from her. And I built my property so that this house, 3515, has privacy from my house at all times, because my garage is in between and I have no windows going out in that direction. And so everything that I did, I took into consideration anybody who was at the time or in the future going to be living at that property. And now the current owners have taken down trees. That's going to cost me a lot of money this next year to re-landscape, because of all the trees. The landscaping that I did on that side of the house was all for shade, so that's all got to be changed now. The reason I came tonight, though, I hadn't even considered the fact that this was grandparents and not in-laws that were moving in, and that it might be in the next 10 years they're gone, and then the current owners are going to be able to either rent or sell that property to somebody else.
my purpose for coming tonight was I'm very concerned about our property line, and maybe this is not the correct venue to bring that up, but I don't know who did the surveying, but when the retention wall on my garage side of my house, on the west side of my house, so it's between my property and this property, there was surveying done. And there was, you know, multi-thousand dollar wall put up because there was a hillside and the property kept crumbling away. And so I invested all that money to put in the retention wall with the agreement. I went to the property owners at the time of this property and presented my proposal to them, and they agreed with it. So currently now there's a string running where the current owners say their property line is, and the pin where that string starts was not there when my retaining wall was built. And the string is a good 3 to 4 feet inside of my retaining wall, between my retaining wall and my garage. So I'm really concerned what their intent is going to be towards that. And they're not easy people to talk to. I've tried and not gotten an answer. But I would assume, since the retaining wall looks nice and serves a purpose, that they wouldn't do anything to upset that situation as it is. And if the addition comes close to the retention wall, well, so be it. I understand their purpose at this time for wanting to do the addition. And I was concerned whether or not there was going to be a slab or a basement because of the existing trees in the area that could be damaged if they were going to dig a basement. But Janessa just explained to me it's going to be slab. And she also told me that it's going to be one story. I was concerned about that.
Excuse me. Is there a site survey? Does it meet the setbacks?
It will meet the setback requirements. That's part of building inspections. The very first inspection that happens on any residential building site is the footing inspection. And at that time, they have to show us where the property line is. It has to be established with property pins. And in this zoning district, the minimum it can be from a side property line is 5 feet.
The pin that they're using where they put that string that the current owner is saying is his property line, that pin did not exist when the survey was done to build my retaining wall. Instead, there was a pin in the middle of that lane. There was a brass pin that was physically sticking up in the middle of that lane, and that was the pin that was used when my retaining wall was built. So,
do you know who did your survey?
Pardon me?
Who did your lot survey when you built your house?
I would have to look. The contractor was in charge of that.
We had Townsend Engineering locate pins and did a full survey on the property.
I know it was a surveying company right here in Bettendorf. But I, off the top of my head, I don't know the name. I should have been prepared with that.
Well, at least the city's going to make sure that the property
we'll receive the survey documents.
Right. Yeah.
Especially in a disputed issue.
They wouldn't be able to build it unless it complied.
So, correct, sir.
So, and the other issue that you're raising, one of the considerations would be to put a restriction on the use of this property so that it couldn't be rented separately, couldn't be sold separately, and couldn't have separate ownership. So that would be, it certainly would prevent number two. You're not going to get separate ownership, I can assure you,
right,
when it comes time to title exam. The separate rental, unfortunately, is harder to police. And I don't mean that you would, but you could conceivably rent out your basement, and we would never know that. And I can honestly tell you that I know that's done in the city of Bettendorf and Davenport, and people don't know it exists, but it does exist.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we're not naive. We know that exists all over town.
I'm just saying there's no way to police that until a problem arises, and then you get to police it.
Yes, we do. Then it gets into code enforcement.
Yeah. The second part I'm pretty sure we can police, and the first part is a little harder to police. But,
your decision this evening, whatever that is recorded at the recorder's office, so it becomes part of the record of this property.
And it would seem to me that those two restrictions, which were suggested by the staff, ought to be included in our decision, if in fact we make a decision to move forward with this project. Any other comments? Any other questions from anybody?
Oh, I got some.
Okay.
Like you mentioned earlier, it's becoming more and more common that people want to have their aging family living with them, where they can care for them. And in the housing market, as a builder, I often am having people request a suite like this either put in the basement or being built more and more frequently. For the purpose of caring for family. I think that this, in the future, and actually Amber's, the homeowner's grandparents are only in their 60s. She's in her 20s. So I don't think it would be anytime soon that they would be selling. And I think that even in the housing market, if someday foreseeably sell this property, that it would sell well for a whole family to have an additional space for more family. I don't think that's uncommon at all that someone would want that. As a matter of fact, I even have, like I said, not only requests for it already as a builder, but I see, I have friends who've gone looking for homes of the sort where they can do this to care for their family as they age. My own father is having hip replacement surgery and going to be staying with us for 3 months, and I wish I had another little bit of extra space for him, you know, where he could stay and recover in his own space. So I think that this makes a lot of sense for them and a lot of sense just in the future for another family. Although it makes Kate's point as valid that you can, you know, enter in the house several different places, the actual thing in question is there a front door, you know, like being added for this, so it would make sense to have a renter, you know, entering into having guests come in and out, you know, their front door to a space, which is not what we've done with this floor plan at all. So
no, I see that, but my only question is, I mean, it would be very easy to put a sidewalk from that deck out to Little Lane.
Oh no, not at all, not if you saw the topography. It's very, very sloped. Kate actually has steps built. You can kind of see them, the stone ones, like built. She has, I mean, a sidewalk might not be simple, but I mean, she kind of created something where you can walk up to Little Lane from the back of her house, but I don't think you would ever have a fence there too, but I don't think you'd ever have guests. There's nowhere to park on Little Lane either. It's not parkable.
The steps there so that people
Up the Little Lane?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't ever have guests coming to the back of the house.
Everybody parks here and comes down my steps.
I'll make the motion.
Anything's possible, I guess.
I'll make a motion on case 19-101, case 19-102, to allow the accessory unit, special use permit, allow the accessory unit and the variance for the common entrance, with the caveats of what the city, what the staff has also asked, that it cannot be separately titled and it cannot be rented in the future.
Okay. I'll second that.
Lisa's pretty good about wording those into the decisions in order.
So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
If I may, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, please.
City attorney requested that these be voted on separately.
Oh.
Oh. All right.
Then I'll back
then
up.
Then let's, I'll entertain a motion on, where did it go?
19-101,
which is the special use permit.
I'll make the motion to approve the special use permit.
Did you second that?
Any discussion on the special use permit? Hearing none, would you give me a roll call vote, please?
Gallagher?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Tansy?
Yes.
Humbergs?
Yes.
Then the second issue is the variance, and I'd entertain a motion then, or if you want to remake your motion, but then you would have, in that motion, you would have the restrictions.
Okay, so case 19-102, to allow the variance to have not a shared common entrance, but to add into this that the property cannot be titled separately, the two units cannot be titled separately, and the accessory unit or the main house cannot, well, I shouldn't say the main house, that they cannot become rental units.
And do I have a second
I'll
for
second that?
That? Okay. Any discussion on that motion? We understand what we're doing. How about roll call then?
Gallagher?
Yes.
Spranger?
Yes.
Tansy?
Yes.
Humbergs?
Yes.
Okay. So both matters pass. And I think that's all we have coming before us today. So happy holidays to everybody. We'll meet again next year.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I'd like to thank you all for all you've done throughout the year. It's we try to double your pay each year.
Yeah,
so
we really
you've been
sure
successful at that so far.
Pick up our holiday bag on the way out.
Yeah.
Thank you all very much. Okay, and we stand adjourned. Thanks for coming.
Yep.